Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The manager of a Tallahassee Academy Sports was fired Tuesday after he tackled a suspect accused of stealing a handgun last week. Academy decided to terminate him. He's, instead of treating him like the hero that he really should have been, they terminated his employment immediately because he put his hands on Mr. White. White asked to look at the handgun at the firearms counter. He was handed the gun, and then he ran towards the door. Obviously, I don't know of any more overt way that you can let everybody know that you intend to commit a theft. The manager set chase, tackling him, and was able to get them. And White, according to court records, said he and his family were being threatened by an unknown person and he wanted the gun to kill him. And that was his reasoning for going into the Academy store and wanting to steal the weapon. And now the manager is terminated. I don't know. Am I missing something here? It seems to me he may have saved somebody else's life. Obviously, we got another property offender who's very dangerous, who's going to do this in a very overt way like this and very blatant. And now they're fired. It just doesn't seem right to me. And sometimes I think we've lost sight of what we're trying to accomplish here. What do you think? Let's go to line one, Stephen in New Orleans. What say you, Stephen?
Hey, well, I'd like to tell you, I don't live in the Marigny.
Okay.
I moved to town 46 years ago, lived in the quarter for about 5 years, and I probably moved around five times and sort of got run out of the quarter, had multiple cars, so you could never find a parking space, and rent kept going up and whatever. And Airbnb was started back that period of time. I knew people that were renting apartments and renting them out. So anyway, I moved to the Marigny 40 years, and now where I live has been. And I bought a historic house, and I bought a house that I could afford.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at houses $100,000 more than what I paid for my house. So I'm real sorry hearing these people boohooing that they have a more expensive house and this helps pay their house note. But you know, if you were going to buy a car and you could afford a Chevrolet, you shouldn't buy a Cadillac.
Right.
So these people that are boohooing, I think, is terrible. But I am now awoken every night by Airbnbers going down the street. And I'm about to the point where I'm about ready to put a sprinkler on my roof in front of my house. And if they wake me up, I'm going to turn the sprinklers on.
And they're walking home, obviously,
walking home,
late hours of the night.
Yeah. And, you know, these Airbnb people, they don't spend the money that everybody thinks they do. You know, I see them in Walgreens buying a bag of ham and a loaf of bread and a jar of mayonnaise to feed three or four people. You know, and also I think, you know, I hate to say that years ago I owned a part interest in a guest house. And I know my business partners, if they got cash, it wasn't reported, and that was what they called their dinner fund. So they would go out to fancy places like Sabisa's for dinner when they would get some money that would pay them in cash instead of, you know. And I'm sure this is the way. And a lot of these people have been in Airbnb before it was Airbnb. And I'm sure they're not as, you know. So I don't think the city's making the money that it should be and ruining the neighborhoods. And, I mean, it's run people out of the Marigny down in the Bywater and elsewhere. And I even have a friend that's lived down the street for about 30 years, I guess, and he's selling out and moving to Chalmette.
There's no doubt that there's a balance of interest issue here in trying to find some common ground. Unfortunately, I don't know that you can find it because – you know, what kind of vetting process can you have of the individuals you're renting to and whether or not they're going to display any respect to the neighbors that are there of what you're complaining about now.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I heard this lady on the earlier show, and she talked about how her husband was an architect, and he died, and now she's stuck with this big house. Well, sell that big house, and, you know, and then she says, and now I've become friends with these Airbnb people, and they come back and stay again. Well, that's ideal. Next time you come back, you don't use your credit card, you pay me cash.
Yeah, you know, I guess in all fairness to all folks, though, for every bad story, there's a good story. And, you know, because most people tend to be good people and do the appropriate things. It's just, unfortunately, as always, the good suffer for the bad, right?
Well, yes. And I guess everybody that's in a business has a little slush fund somewhere that they don't pay all the appropriate taxes they do.
Well,
registers and that sort of stuff.
Let's hope not on that front, because obviously the city needs the money to clean the streets, fill the potholes, and hopefully get sewage and water boards straightened up.
But yet I don't get any police protection.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a car stolen, and it took them 4 days to come out to make out a report. And then I know who stole the car and still didn't get the car back. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't get any police protection. And I can tell you, if I called the police, it would be days before they would get there.
So the commission issued by a 5-1 vote endorsing a temporary moratorium on the short-term rental licenses. So we'll see where that goes to next. Thanks so much for calling in, Stephen. Appreciate it. Let's go to line two, talk to Stephen Uptown. What say you, Stephen?
Hey, no, enjoy your show. Yeah, real quick, in regards to the Academy thing, you know, what a shame. Here's an employee that is an upstanding citizen that wants to prevent a crime and potentially a much more serious crime by that guy killing someone. And on top of that, an employee that cares enough about his company to go beyond what most people would have done and or in a lot of cases should have done. A lot of these stores have policies where just if they steal, let them run out. But you know what? Shame on Academy. Maybe discipline the guy, have a chat with him, but to fire him, shame on him. And I don't know if they're going to see my face in their brick and mortar anymore. Thanks, and have a great day.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of people have that same reaction sometimes to this. And there's any number of stores that have adopted policies to not confront shoplifters within the store. But I don't know, is a pair of socks the same as a gun? And do you not have a heightened responsibility to some extent if somebody's walking out of the store with a handgun? I think I would have done what the store manager did. And unfortunately, he's married, has two young kids, beautiful family, and now he's without a job. And I don't understand, you know, the thought process here. It was a .40 caliber pistol from the firearms counter. Maybe they should attach some kind of tether cord or something to these guns before they hand it to a potential customer in that respect, because this doesn't make any sense to me that they're put at risk. The gun runs out and they do what? They got to make a call to the police? At that point in time, this guy will be long gone by the time the police get there, and they're not going to be able to deal with it at all. Well, thank you, Stephen, for calling in. I appreciate the call. Let's go to I thought we had a call ready. We're not. We're going to go to a break. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. Talking about any number of things you want to talk about. Airbnb, short-term rentals, talk about this story. I'm going to read another story to you when we return about stuff that's going on across the country. We'll be right back. We're back. We'll go to line three, talk to Mike. What say you, Mike?
Hey, Noah. Afternoon. How are you?
Good. And you?
All right. I'm a little angry today, Noah. I'll tell you why. Yesterday, you know, they were talking about the NFL filing the grievances and, you know, the issue with the players kneeling came up again, and a lot of the conversation, you know, revolved around these guys, and that, you know, people are upset because they not respecting the flag, not respecting the military and the police, and so on and so forth. And that's fine and dandy. But a day before that, day after that or before, Trump pardoned these two ranchers from the alt-right, you know, that basically set fires to government land. And at the same time, these guys were protesting something they didn't like about the government. The Bundys, who tied themselves to these guys, their way of protesting something they didn't like about the government was to hijack a government facility armed and hold it hostage for several days. That's who they tied themselves to. Now, the part that really gets me angry when we're talking about NFL players who are kneeling for a protest, the alt-right also, at the time when Papa Bundy, you remember Clive, when Fox had him on just about every day, kind of promoting him as a hero, the sovereign citizens were attached themselves to the Bundys and that alt-right. And I'm sure you remember this, Newell. A few days after those guys appeared actually on TV armed at that protest, went to Las Vegas, murdered two police officers while they were eating lunch, and covered their bodies with a Don't Tread on Me flag. We remember them in La Place. We remember that the same 2 months after Michael Brown, when we were yelling, calling Black Lives terrorist groups, another one of these sovereign citizens ambushed police officers, state troopers in Pennsylvania, attacked four of them, murdered two, and nobody talks about it. So it just bothers me how, you know, we're within 2 days, we're complaining about guys kneeling and Trump's pardoning these alt-right groups who tie themselves with other groups that are murdering police officers. And we're complaining about black guys who are kneeling to protest police brutality, and they're the ones that don't like the police. I'm very angry about the hypocrisy and how people can view that stuff very differently, especially these alt-right groups, you know, that tie themselves to other alt-right groups like the sovereign citizens. And I've never heard anybody on the right, when these police officers are murdered by these sovereign citizens, alt-right people, have guests on there talking about them, talking about the threat that they are. Nobody talks about it.
Well, I've seen many shows where they've talked about it. I do agree with you. I'm not sure what motivated the president to do those pardons. The fact of the matter is they violated the law. I know that there's been accusations of overreach, prosecutorial overreach in that case. But the fact of the matter is that it shouldn't just been a blanket pardon and they walked scot-free. Now, having said that, most of the evidence suggests that they did not align themselves with the other groups that you're talking about, and they did not participate in any of those protests. But be that as it may, I see exactly what you're talking about the duplicity. I think it's a problem, and it shouldn't have happened.
Listen, I lean pretty left to a lot of issues, but when it comes to the police and firemen and stuff like that.
But, you know, when you're talking about right and wrong, does it really matter about left, right, independent, in the middle? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. And I agree with you. That's my point. If we're going to be fair, let's be fair. Yeah. If you're going to give time to talk about how the threat of Black Lives Matter is, you should give equal time to talk about the dangers of the alt-right. And that's my point, is that we don't. Well, most people don't give equal time to those issues. And when we have these conversations, and I agree with you, right is right, wrong is wrong, whoever's leaning to the right tends to push back on those who are protesting, you know, like to the left, and ignore the real threat from people like the alt-right. Now, listen, I know that they denounce
But, you know, it plays into this dialogue we started today, Mike, and it's kind of this, I got to one-up you. All the time, you know, and I say things that have nothing to do with race, and I try to keep it as neutral as possible, albeit some of it may align with what Trump is saying. I don't like the way he says it, but it may align. I get text over here to call me racist, you know, socialist, that not Nazi. I mean, it's like craziness, and I haven't said anything. You know, and it's kind of like we're jumping to these extremes all the time, but I can't defend that pardon. I don't think it makes any sense. I'll be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and like I said, listen, I lean pretty left a lot of stuff, but when it comes to police and firemen, we're running away from stuff. They're running to it. I have utmost respect for them and what they do. You know, and that part of it too. When I hear that these guys, the Bundys and all them, were tied to it. And I was so angry when that was going on, when they had Clive as a hero. And then whether they agreed with him or not, but these sovereign citizens people who left that rally, who were at the rally on TV, who 2 days later left and killed two police officers. Nobody was talking.
In a coffee shop. Oh, I remember. I remember it vividly, like it was yesterday. And once again, they lost sight of what the issue was. That was all about, really, let's call it for what it was, anti-Obama, right? Because it was under the Obama administration that they decided that they were going to take this stand on that particular piece of land with DOJ, and that's what it was all about.
And that's why it didn't have
anything to do with the rule of law. You can't pick and choose. I got a text yesterday. We're talking about the separated children as a result of immigration. I said the law says this. Went to the Flores agreement, read it three times, and read captions of it on air about why these things are happening. It's because of this agreement. And get texts, law. That's all you want to talk about. Well, that's what you got to follow. If you're elected to be in the enforcement arm of government, you don't get to pick and choose what laws you're going to enforce. If you see a violation, you got to enforce them all. Doesn't mean that was a priority of what you were doing, but if it's there, you know about it, you have an obligation to try and deal with it. Just my thoughts.
No, and I agree with you 100%. Like you said, the whole thing with it being part of the Obama administration—he was on Clive and Bunny was on Hannity exactly for the reason you said. He was a guy waving an American flag with a cowboy hat, and it was against Obama. But like I said, we had one of these guys murder a police officer in La Paz. But they don't. My point is that they don't give equal time to the one they're saying, "Hey, we want to protect the police." When an alt-right group is attacking police, they're not talking about it. So. Wrong, you're right. Wrong is wrong, but give equal time.
All about the ratings, baby.
I hear you.
All righty. Thanks so much for calling in, Mike. We're going to come right back to the talk line. Stay with us. We'll continue these conversations on anything that you want to talk about, whether it be Airbnb, short-term rentals, some of the most current news that's out there. We're going to talk about some other things that have come up. And most recently, there's a university that's flying a flag that has been defaced. We're back, and we're talking about any number of issues. Let's go to line two and talk to George and Jefferson. What say you, George?
How you doing?
Doing great.
I'm like 66 years old, and I saw Kennedy get assassinated, and whoever believes in the magic bullet theory ought to take that first trip to Mars. This has been going on with the corruption ever since I was a kid. Nothing has changed, just the names of the players. And at one time, some of my best friends were African Americans. That's when they were in my age group, and not all of us crying. Half of these young African Americans, they do not even realize. They think that the white man went to the jungles of Africa and captured their people. No, their own people captured them and sold them into slavery. And now I've become a Aryan, and I'm so tired of these people thinking they are entitled. And it just burns me up. It's the same thing, the same causes. And after, say, 50 years, nothing has changed. People,
George,
are still killing people.
When you say entitled, you entitled meaning what?
They think they owed some.
So you're not talking about...
Affirmative action. I worked at a Winn-Dixie. A man had a PhD in mathematics. They gave it to an African-American guy because of the affirmative action. So he had a PhD. He couldn't get a teaching position because they had to give it to a woman or a minority. And he's bagging groceries. The other guy is sitting back. And also another thing, some of these people pass these schools like they had an engineer built this playground, and he didn't even have the dimensions right for the area of a tennis court. He looked in the book and saw the playing area was 78 by 38. he didn't realize you have to have 20 feet in the back, so he gave him 3 feet on the side to get the ball in his offense. Another affirmative action guy got the job. When I turned 50, I had a hard time getting a job.
Well, George, I could tell you, and there's been some, in fact, just the other day, the Congressional Black Caucus called President Trump out on his move to scrap affirmative action. And they said that yet again, we see that the administration's goal and vision for making America great again is to reduce the role of the state in making sure our society prizes diversity and inclusion. And he says, I continue to be disappointed that the president of this great country demonstrably cares so little for its non-white residents and their interests. Kind of interesting. I've heard a number of African-American writers and reporters talking about the fact that they are opposed to affirmative action as well, because they feel that it seems to imply that African-Americans, therefore, are not capable. Because it's not a question of economic viability, because most of what they're talking about, they're getting the loans, they're getting my mind just went blank. They're getting the scholarships, thank you, to go to the schools. It's all about educational performance, and they seem to think that they're performing. So why have this? They're there. They're performing. Why shouldn't everybody be treated on the same educational performance level as others? So we'll see. This is going to continue to be an issue. These were actually – it's not a law. These are actually policy guidelines that were laid out by the Obama administration that the Trump administration is now retreating on within – the Education Department. Interestingly, the Justice Department, for a period of time, even while under Obama, has been advocating a retreat or rollback of these rules in saying that they violate the Constitution in many respects. So we'll see where this ultimately leads. Let's go to line one and talk to Kathy and Metri. What say you, Kathy?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
That's good. We have been doing, we're going to talk about Airbnb, if that's okay, and we're changing the subject.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. We have been Airbnb hosts since February of 2016, 2.5 years.
And you're in what
Metairie.
Parish? In Metairie? Jefferson Parish. Okay.
Yes, this is the Jefferson Parish call. We went to our neighbors first all around us before we started the endeavor. And we cleared it with them. We told them what we were planning on doing and asked them if it was okay. And we have been doing this, like I said, for 2.5 years. We've hosted 129 reservations, and we have not had one complaint from our neighbors. Now, we are on site, and we have very strict house rules, so that does, I'm sure, make a difference. But, it is part of our house, so we are right there all the time. That's just one feature I would like to, say as a positive.
Do you think that one ingredient in and of itself, the fact that you're there, minimizes most of the complaints that neighbors that don't participate in that are articulating?
Yes, I think so. On-site does make a difference. Plus, we do have very strict house rules, so we kind of weed out any party animals before
right.
they can even come. We can only really fit two people,
right.
so we can't have large groups either.
Right.
So that's another feature as well.
And you said you had something else?
Yeah, just the tax benefits for Jefferson Parish. We have spent, in 2016, we spent over $5,000 on purchases for supplies, repairs, and renovation. 2017, we spent $7,000, and that's all going to be, sales tax for Jefferson Parish. And then this year in 2018, we've already spent $10,000 because we did a major renovation of our bathroom in that room. So we've hired carpenters, electricians, plumbers, lawn people from Jefferson Parish. So we're helping out the economy. We feel in that as well. Plus, we've met people in this reverse van movement that really depend on their income to even stay in their houses. We've met several people who need to have this income to be able to stay and meet their mortgage payments. So it's been a real positive for a lot of people, and we just would hope that the council would.
So where are we with the council in Jefferson Parish right now? I know they took some action recently. I don't recall what it was.
February 21st, they voted to ban all short-term rentals except for in commercial areas. And it's supposed to go into effect in March of next year, in 2019. So they've given us some leeway because they know that we had reservations already made.
Right.
But we are hoping for compromise. In other words, we're not expecting to have total free reign. We would like to have some compromise on, you know, the ordinance so that people who are responsible, people who are, you know, very, very enjoying the Airbnb and getting a lot of, you know, financial help from it, we would hope that that would be reconsidered, you know, as far as that goes. We're having a meeting again August 22nd at the Rose Garden again. We met last night for the first time at the Rose Garden. And the people who are involved in this reverse the ban movement are going to meet again on August the 22nd at the Rose Garden Wednesday night at 7:30. So if anyone out there involved with short-term rentals would like to come and learn about what we're trying to do, we would welcome that. And even people who are against them, we would like to come and hear their views as well.
All righty, Kathy, I got to get to a break. I'm sorry. If you keep us informed and call us back again and let us know what's going on, we would appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
We appreciate your help.
Have a great day. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. When we come back, we're going to talk about a bill that a GOP lawmaker has introduced in making first-time illegal border crossings a felony. And we'll talk about why when we return. This is Newell on WWL. We're back. We'll go to the talk lines. Let's go to line two. Talk to Wayne and Metri. What say you, Wayne? Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hold on. Hey, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about the trees they cut down on Clearview Parkway. They're doing a bunch of construction work. I can't figure out what in the world they're doing. I know they're blocking off the crossovers, so you won't be able to go straight across, and I don't see them even getting another lane out of it.
Have you talked to your council person?
Nah, man. He's going to say that's a state. This is a state highway.
Well, but the council person, they coordinate with the local officials. They'll be in the best position to be able to get the information for you.
Yeah, that's true, but I figure why I could catch y'all on the radio. I might try to give somebody might know something.
Yeah, I don't know of anything. If anybody out there knows anything, give us a call, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. But, Wayne, I am of no help to you this morning, buddy.
Okay, all right. Well, it was nice talking.
Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mark and Kenner on line three. What say you, Mark?
Hey, Newell, thanks for taking my call, and I hope I get at least a quarter of the time that lady a while ago got. Well, my beef is, and what I want to say, kudos to Mississippi Department for monitoring and doing something about the slow traffic in the left lane. I hope that all police commissioners or a representative of all the police departments are listening and realize how much of a problem it is, and that it also causes road rage. I drive from New Orleans to Birmingham, and there's people that couldn't care less if you ever got where you were going.
That's not a fun drive. I've done it myself many times.
Well, I just want to say that Mississippi is not as slow as they say that they are, and they are doing something about that left lane traffic and those trucks in the left lane. Those trucks in the left lane should never be. I also driven in New York, and it is illegal for any commercial vehicle to be in that left lane. So I just hope all police, if I'm a representative from all departments are listening and realize how serious a problem it is for that left lane to be obstructed at 40, 50 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you have somebody in the right lane that's driving slow and they're in the appropriate lane. And then when you have a slow driver in the left lane, it clogs everything up for miles. You see it all the time, and it is frustrating.
It is. And it contributes to road rage, believe it or not. A lot of people don't know it. It doesn't come out that way. But you get a guy, and then some of them, what they do is when you attempt to pass them, say you get a break in the right lane and you attempt to pass them, they will speed up so that you cannot pass them.
Yeah, I know it's created a little rage in me every now and again where I hit my hand on the steering wheel and I'm completely frustrated that I'm boxed in. So I know the feeling, Mark. Thanks so much for sharing. And thanks to the public safety officials that are monitoring that and taking some remedial action. That's a positive thing. And thanks for sharing that again. We'll be right back after the break. Give us a call, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and in the next hour, our conversation is going to be about a proposed change in the draft rules for the NBA. Do you think kids should turn pro right out of high school? And they're proposing a set of rule changes where they'll allow high school seniors to enter the NBA draft. Is that a good thing, or is that a bad thing? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but we're going to have that discussion and many others, and also going to talk about this GOP lawmaker that seeks to make first-time illegal border crossings a felony and explains why they want to do that. And we'll talk about that and what the legal consequences are and what that will ultimately mean as well. So we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870 as we continue these conversations and more. And also, just as a reminder, remember that we've moved from TuneIn to radio.com app and website. Make that switch now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.